Greetings and welcome into NEI Radio here on NorthwestEliteIndex.com. I am your host, Rylan Spencer, and you are listening to the Week 6 podcast. Usually we start the show by going around the state and looking at our top 10 team rankings, but that's going to change this week. I have some opinions, some solutions on the Archbishop Murphy situation, the public versus private discussion, some things that I just think need to be said, and frankly, this is a perfect platform to do it, and so we will touch on those subjects. Before that, we will speak with Scott Eklund from Dogman.com. We'll have a preview of the Bothell Skyline game, as well as a brief look at the Kent Meridian Mount Rainier game from last week, get Scott's thoughts on those on that game. Before we do that, let's head over to the central part of the state and meet up with the top-ranked 2017 quarterback in the state of Washington, Caden Jenks from beautiful Royal High School in Royal City, Washington. Caden, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing really good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good, man. Thanks a lot. Let's talk about your team here a little bit. You guys are currently ranked number one in the state. You're coming off a state championship in 2015. Give the listeners just an overview of how your season's gone so far.
So far, it's been really good. We're undefeated. The team is playing great together, great team chemistry. We lost a lot of great players last year, but a lot of the newer kids have stepped up and really done their best to fulfill their positions.
Speaking on losing a lot of athletes from last year, you guys lose four of five offensive linemen from a year ago. You return Juan Kiko Garcia. Tell me about the new-look offensive line, and who are some of the big guys that stood out?
Rainer Byerly, for one. He's playing left guard for us, and he's been huge just knowing his assignment and really taking coaching well and putting it into games. Center sets up, Tyler Dorsey. They're really working hard, trying to get everything mastered. And with what they're trying to do right now and how much experience they've had, they're doing an amazing job, I think.
You're a dual-threat quarterback, and you do like to run the ball, but you have a good running back in the backfield also with senior Danny Cuevas. What can you tell me about Danny?
Danny is one of the quickest players I've ever seen play. He changes direction pretty amazingly to me. I'm sure a lot of defenses think the same. He's really a big part. It's helping to open up our run game. We've only had him for one game this year so far. He had four touchdowns, and he's just a great asset to our offense.
Your top wide receiver so far has been 2018, Corbin Christensen. Talk about Corbin's play.
They're also pretty new. Corbin returns from last year. He had a decent year last year, but he's really stepped up as well. And just his routes and everything has gotten so much better. He's become a legit threat to everyone from anywhere on the field. He's been playing great so far, and I'm truly happy to have him.
One thing about Royals, you guys play real tough team defense. Very well coached. Head coach Wiley Allred does an absolutely tremendous job. But you guys fly around to the ball, and it's really a team effort. Things get spread out. You had seven tackles in week one. Corbin Christensen had nine tackles. Alonzo Hernandez, linebacker 2019, he had seven tackles. So you guys really do gang tackle as a team. Tell me about those guys on that side of the ball.
Our linebackers right now are playing huge. They're a great run, stop, and defense. Alonzo Hernandez is 2019, and he is doing a heck of a job right now. And Johnny Garcia, 2017. You might not have the biggest guys, but they make up for it. They're coached really well by our defense coach, Jeremy Scroggins, and they're getting all the right reads and run-throughs. And what we stress a lot in our defense is flying to the ball, and effort's the one thing you control. That's what we preach every day.
Now, you guys really don't give up a ton of points so far in the season. You gave up 14 to a highly ranked 2A squad in Ellensburg, 7 to Zilla, 6 to Warden, and only 8 last week to Waluke. Tell me more about Coach Scroggins and kind of the philosophy and everything he brings to the table.
Coach Scroggins is so amazing with how he can game plan each team from week to week. I feel like he puts us in the best position to win all the time. And he leaves a lot of the players with on-field checks based on their formations and just tendencies. He breaks it all down, and he wants to get pressure on the quarterback, and he just causes turnovers, and he's just a phenomenal coach who I think is really great future and great man too. He does a lot of the leadership stuff for our team, and he does a great job.
Now, you guys have a big matchup in a couple of weeks against a highly ranked Connell team. But let's not overlook this week's game against Keona Benton. What can you tell me about the Bears?
From what I've seen this year on film, they're a very dangerous team. They just have some mistakes at the wrong time. But we know we have to come in and play our best. But they will definitely take advantage of our mistakes, just with the talent they have as a team and their dangerous receiver named Daniel Rison, I believe.
Let's go a little more personal with you. The big offseason last year. Just briefly, give us an update on offers and what schools you're talking to.
I still only have the offers from Weber State. I've been hearing from most of the Big Sky, UC Davis, Montana, Montana State, Portland State, just a bunch of schools from the Big Sky, and I think they're all great schools, and I'm looking forward to seeing what opportunities I can have there. But first, I got to keep grinding and focus on the season first before I can start thinking about that.
Do you have any visits currently set up?
Not at this moment, but I'm working on it.
So you're more playing out your season before looking deeper into visits?
Yeah, for the most part. I just want to put our season first. I feel it's more fair to my teammates that I focus on us as we've been grinding through the whole summer, and they're my brothers right there beside me.
All right, Caden. Thank you for your time, and keep us updated, and best of luck moving forward.
Thank you.
And now it's time for our weekly visit with Scott Eklund from Dogman.com.
Just like every week, it's everybody's everything, and that means it's time for Scott Eklund from Dogman.com. Scott, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. It's been a busy week, especially with what's been going on up at the University of Washington. I guess we're going to talk about that in a little bit, though.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit later. That's definitely some great things going on over there at UW. Montlake was definitely rocking and rolling last Friday, and we'll get into some of that stuff. But let's talk
about... Which is the reason why I won't be able to talk about going to a Friday game.
Yes, exactly. And so going with that... You made it to one game last week. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on with the Huskies. So the one game you did get to was a 24-18 Mount Rainier win over Kent Meridian. You and I were both out there at French Field on Thursday night. Really, J.J. Young kind of stole the show, the quarterback slash safety for Mount Rainier. What were your thoughts on him and then kind of the rest of the game?
Well, you know, it's funny, and it's one of my favorite reasons you know, to go to football games is because I love going out and seeing a kid that I've never heard of before. And that was a situation last week when I stepped on the field and you hadn't quite got there yet, and I'm standing on the field and I'm like, who's number 23? I mean, he looks like a guy, you know, and all he did was go out and perform the whole night, you know, played both ways. He's a safety and a quarterback. I don't think at the next level he'll be a quarterback. He'll probably be like a wide receiver or a safety at the next level. But he was the best player on the field, the best athlete on that field, and was very impressed with what I saw. He actually had a pretty quick release, strong arm, but he did most of his damage running the ball. As far as, you know, the game itself, it wasn't a bad game. You know, I thought going in, man, this is going to be a dog of a game, but you know, it turns out to be 24-18, and Kent Meridian actually kind of made it closer at the end because Mount Rainier had, you know, was up I think 24-12 or something like that, and Kent Meridian you know, came back, and they have their running back that they like, Joe McConico and everything, but you know, Joe McConico, but I was a little surprised because I had never seen Mount Rainier play live before. And the funny thing is, and I mentioned this to you, I had never seen Kent Meridian play at French Field, which for anybody who knows high school football, French Field is on Kent Meridian's campus. So I'd never seen a home game for Kent Meridian. But anyway, I was impressed by what I saw from J.J. Young. And, you know, there, one of my favorite guys was the Kent Meridian nose tackle. I think his last name was Castle. I forget what his first name was Castle, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe his first name was Castle. And you know, I'm drawing a blank on his name too.
Castle Malia.
He was a load.
Yeah, he was a big dude, about 6 foot, 350 pounds, and big guy. I couldn't really move him in the middle, but he wasn't explosive. I was hoping to see a little more explosiveness out of him. But overall, I thought it was a fun, entertaining game and something that, you know, at least I got out and saw a decent game last week and saw a guy that I hadn't really seen before.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed. You know, I did a wrap up the other day talking about that game and kind of recapping the game and talking about some of the players. But that was definitely an interesting game. I was very impressed with the way that head coach Tremaine Mack of Mount Rainier kind of ran his team. It was a very calm, even when they faced some adversity, just a very calm stance on the sideline. They moved to 5-0, and if you want to go back a few years, if you want to find the last time they actually won 5 games in the season, I don't even know how far you'd have to go back. The last time they won more than one game in a season was 2009, and that includes, I mean, you go back 6 years for that. That includes 2 winless seasons and 4 years of 1-9. So just a tremendous job by Tremaine Mack, the head coach over there, and his coaching staff, and obviously the athletes of buying in. Another guy that we kind of liked was Terrell Greer. He's a senior wide receiver, and he made a couple of really nice plays. I'm not sure if he's a receiver or a safety, maybe even a backer. He's got a real nice frame, but that's another guy to keep an eye on. He made a really nice catch down the sideline for a touchdown in the third quarter. But all in all, that's a team that's interesting. You know, I believe this week, I could be wrong, but I believe this week they get Kentwood, and that's a game right there that should probably decide some things in that conference as far as seeding goes for playoff time.
They are playing Kentwood.
Yeah, and that's a game that it'll be interesting to see, because I think Kentwood, I personally believe Kentwood is probably the best team in that conference. Mm-hmm. Whether you look at the North or the South, or I'm not exactly sure. I believe it's Cascade and the Sound are the two divisions, but I think Kentwood's probably the best team overall in that conference. But if there was ever a year that Mount Rainier was going to knock somebody off, this is definitely that season.
Yeah. And, Kennedy Catholic's also a pretty good squad out of that group. I think they're, you know, this is a down year for that division, but I think you could see Kennedy Catholic, Kentwood, and even Kent Meridian, because we all know that Kent Meridian has a pretty good coaching staff up there. Brett Young does a pretty good job up there in developing his talent and everything like that. So don't be surprised if that team, you know, gets up there eventually over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there's always a lot of talent in that area, and it's just a matter of bringing them all in and getting a lot of them to come play football. And I think Coach Allen's done a tremendous job in the last few years. They just look as though they're having a bit of a down year. Not a full, say, a full deck of athletes like they've had the last couple of years when they were making some good runs and beating some fairly good teams. But let's move on and let's talk about big game Thursday night, Bothell and Skyline, two teams that we have in our top 10 team rankings. We have Skyline at 8 and Bothell at 9. These are two teams that are very familiar with each other. Last year's game was a 56-25 Skyline win. Rashad Boddy ran for 257, 2 touchdowns. Blake Gregory threw for 3 touchdowns. Those guys are gone. Jacob Sermon last year, 24 completions, 303, 4 touchdowns, but he also had 3 interceptions. Now, things have changed a little bit this year with him. And obviously, you know, I said those two guys are gone. Definitely a different look Skyline team. Scott, what can you tell me about – let's start with Skyline. Let's talk about Skyline first. What can you tell me about the Spartans?
Well, when you talk about Skyline, you really have to look at their offensive and defensive lines, because they are very strong along both lines. They have Henry Bainabalo, one of the top linemen out west. You know, if it wasn't for Foster Sorrell, Henry Bainabalo might be the top player in the state. I mean, he is – just so good and grinds and very physical and plays angry and things like that. He plays left tackle for them. Then you got Matt Sindrick, a 2018 kid who is really already drawing a lot of attention. Washington State has offered him, and I know Washington is very high on him as well. So, you know, you got those two studs. Then what was the name of the center? Matt Ose?
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Ose. and he's an all-Kinko kind of a guy as well. So they've got a really nice offensive line that's really keeping the two, you know, that two-headed quarterback that they got going on, Drew Kistner, the senior, and Joe Green, the sophomore. I really like what I actually haven't seen him live yet. I've heard about him, and I've watched him in spring ball and in fall camp. But this will be my first time seeing them live this year. And from what I've heard from the people who've gone and seen them, they've looked really good. They've only lost one game, and that was to I don't know what ranking Richland is at this week, but, you know, one of the best teams in 4A in the entire state.
Yeah, Richland's a team that they've been in our – actually, I believe they've been number three the entire season. But that's a team that no matter where you go, no matter what rankings you look at, they're anywhere from, honestly, from one to about three. So that first week loss, and that was a tight game. They played it very tough. I think the key for Skyline is defensively, they've always been tough defensively. This year, they don't have maybe necessarily the same athleticism. I think they're bigger up front than in the years past. They usually go with a three-man line. And when you've got Sindrick and you've got Henry Bainavalu, yeah, that's, I mean, a couple of big guys. Now, this year they've gone to some four-man D-line stuff quite a bit. When they do, they move Alex Deagle down to the D-line. And I'll tell you what, when you've got a couple of big boys and then you move Deagle down coming hot off the edge, that's a real tough matchup. And, you know, that's something that you and I have talked about in terms of Bothell. You know, I'm not going to say that their offensive line is subpar because I think that they do have some very nice players and the coaches do a good job over there. But there has been a tendency for some leaks. Sermons definitely had to run, and something we know this week, he did leave last week's game with an ankle injury, so his status is a little bit unknown at this point. He did throw his first interception last week. Now, granted, it was I don't want to say it was a Hail Mary because it was only from about 25 or 30 yards out, but it was just kind of a throw to the end zone and see who can catch it. So it's not your typical interception, but as far as the Cougars go, defensively, they haven't been fantastic. They're in the lower half of the Kinko Conference, and when you have guys like CJ Moore for Skyline, he's 6'2", 185 on the outside, and Bradley Kim, he has some speed. He's committed to Air Force. Luke Stiles and Kai Kang, those are four really good receivers, and for Bothell this week, they're going to have to do a really good job at locking some of that down. But then they also, you have Isaiah Shim, who even at 5'9 and a buck 75, he leads Kinko in rushing right now. So the balance that Skyline has could be a real problem for Bothell's defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I really think that because Skyline is so multiple, they have a chance to really hurt a lot of teams, excuse me, because they can run it or pass it relatively equally. I think, you know, if you were to get Matt Taylor to in a private moment, he'd probably say, I wish we could figure out our quarterback situation so we're not rotating him. But I think they know what the future is. That's Joe Green. But right now, Drew Kistner probably gives them the best shot to win on a regular basis just because he's a senior. Been in their system for a long time. This is Joe Green's first year in their system, so maybe that's why we see it. But, you know, they've got a lot of different weapons. You know, Bradley Kim, like you said, is going to Air Force, and you know, he's an athletic guy. He can play both ways. He's at his best on the defensive side of the ball, but he can play offense too, and he's pretty athletic. So they have a lot of little weapons to throw at you and present a real problem for the defense.
And it should be noted that Kistner is probably more of the athlete, whereas Joe Green is kind of more of your pocket passer. Kistner has, I believe, over 100 yards rushing on the season, so he's got a little bit more of a read option type ability. Not saying Joe Green isn't athletic. That's just not what he's really asked to do. He's kind of more of a, hey, let's stand back and really spread the ball around. Let's go over to the Bothell side of the ball. A couple of guys that we know really well with Jacob Sermon, Alex Indelicato, Daniel Johnston. What more can you tell me about the Bothell Cougars?
Well, one of the big disappointments for me has been, and you mentioned him, Daniel Johnston. He's actually looks pretty good as a wide receiver, but Jacob Sermon has had a lot of his wide receivers let him down as far as drops this year. In the couple games I've watched, he's had at least four or five drop touchdown passes, and that just will kill you in some of these close games. So, you know, this game will probably be a close one for with Skyline, and hopefully that doesn't cost them down the stretch. I like in Delicato. He's an all-King Co kind of a guy. Came over from Kamiak and just has really added another dimension to their offense because he can run the ball and he can catch it out of the backfield. He's a pretty doggone good receiver. Anytime he gets the ball in space, he's a threat to go the distance. So, their offensive and defensive lines have just been so-so. They've got some decent prospects there. But I really, you know, when it comes to Bothell, I think you're really talking about Jacob Sermon and whatever he's able to do, because if he's able to keep his calm, have some poise, and get the ball down the field, they have some weapons that can really hurt you. But, man, Skyline has always been pretty good at rushing the quarterback, but a lot of their guys are gone that were really good at rushing the quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how their offense matches up against a Skyline defense that has some athletes but isn't really in that same realm this year, like you said.
Yeah, I think they just lack the overall athleticism that they've had in the past. They're still very well coached, and it's kind of a scheme-driven program over there at Skyline. But some players that I think you should probably keep an eye on this week, and Delicato and Jalen Ford are probably going to split carries. Jalen Ford is a speedster just like in Delicato. On the defensive side of the ball, a key component for Bothell's defense is Parker Chamberlain, inside linebacker. He's number two in King Co in tackles right now. The other inside linebacker is Tuli Tavega. And both of those two combined, they're going to have to be stout against the run, but also not give up their coverage responsibilities, as Skyline likes to run those quick slants and just pick up 3-4, boom, you know, move on to the next play type yards. So it'll be interesting to see what those guys can do. This is a game that could even come down at the end of the day, maybe a field goal, a punt return, something along those lines. I think for Bothell and Delicato, a punt returner is definitely something to keep an eye on. He's going to have to give them some good field position. Two of the best coaches in the state. I mean, let's face it, you've got Tom Bainter at Bothell, who's been there for, I believe, now 16 years. Yeah, and you know, Tom is one of the most well-respected coaches in the state, and it's very, very well deserved, that's for sure. And then on the other side, Matt Taylor from Skyline. I don't know how long he's actually been the head coach, but I know he's been in that program for a long time. I believe
we're coming up on 10 years for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, he would have taken over when Jervis left for the University of Washington, and that would have been under Willingham, if I can remember correctly. So and maybe I'm not allowed to talk about Tyrone Willingham. I think he would be somewhere right around 10 years probably. So two of the state's best coaches, a couple of guys that have a system, have a philosophy, and they do it as well as anybody. That is Thursday night, again on Root Sports. It'll be Jason Stiles on the color commentary and the man, the myth, the legend with the hair, Brad Adam, doing the play-by-play. You can watch that 7 p.m. live from Popkini Stadium. Scott, are you going to any other games this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm kind of excited because I'm going to be taking my son to his first game. He's 15 months old, so I'm not sure what his attention span will be. But taking him to his first game, we're going to head over to the Monroe Stadium and watch Mariner, Mariner take on Monroe.
Beautiful. That should be a really good game. I think those are a couple of teams that still have, well, Monroe maybe not nearly as much as Mariner, but I think Mariner has a lot of really nice things, some questions that still need to be answered on their part. Below this, down at the bottom, I will attach a link to a podcast done by Steve Willits. He's with Sound Live. I think it's Sound Live Sports. Steve and I spoke a couple of days ago, and we really went over some power rankings up in the north end. And so talk about both teams, Monroe and the Mariner Marauders, both a little bit. So some good information there if people want to see it.
Just from a recruiting standpoint, I want to get a look at JJ Jerome. I haven't actually seen him play live yet. as far as playing running back, because I have seen him in 7-on-7 work. So I really want to get a look at J.J. Jerome. I want to look at his younger brother, Josh Jerome. I want to see where he fits best, probably on defense, but you just never know. And then Isaiah Cole is a guy I've heard a lot about. You've tweeted about it, and my wife's one of her good friends is his mom. So she wants me to give her a breakdown of what I see out of him. And then as far as Mariners concerned, Coach Stewart up there has moved around a little bit, but I think he's found a home. He brought in, I'm totally drawing a blank on his name. The guy, the defensive coordinator from, the head coach down at
Jeff Schmidt.
Yeah, Coach Schmidt. Yeah, he brought in Coach Schmidt. So he's got a really strong coaching staff up there, a lot of good developers of talent. So I'm real interested to see what he's able to do. I think Monroe's probably going to end up winning this game relatively easily. But they do have a pretty good quarterback in J.J. Walker. He's 5'11", 170 pounds. He can run around a little bit. I like what I've heard and seen from him, at least on his highlight film. So I want to get a look at them, but more often than not, it's just going to be father-son bonding time because my wife's out, going to be gone to Oktoberfest with some girlfriends, and so it's just me and the son going to the game and then just enjoying our time there.
Now, just real quick, when you take him to his first game, you got to dress him up in some sort of football-related attire. Is it going to be Washington Huskies?
Usually I try not to represent the school that I cover. I try not to wear anything Husky related when I go to these games. So he will likely have a Seahawk thing on.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. The Hawks are playing good football right now. That's
absolutely
for sure.
Absolutely not.
So next week we will have obviously a recap of both games. We'll probably do a recap of Bothell and Skyline on the week 6 recap that'll come out Monday, and then the Mariner Monroe game, we'll talk more about that one on next week's it'd be the week 7 preview podcast. I will be I got a little bit of a busy week this week. Obviously going to go to that game. Going to be working for Root Sports on Thursday night. Friday I'm going to go up to Edmond Stadium, where we'll get to see the Meadowdale Mavericks and the Lynwood Royals, an interesting game as far as seeding potentially goes. Those are two teams that are both sitting at 4-1 right now. Lynwood lost last week to Edmonds Woodway, a team that is just playing phenomenal defense right now. They held Shorecrest to -39 yards of total offense 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So beating Lynwood probably not a shock to many, but definitely something that I did not see coming. I expected Lynwood to kind of run through that game. It seems as though I have a curse right now with the number 10 ranked team in 3A. Whoever I put in there automatically bounces right back out. Off the top of my head, I don't know who I have there this week, but I'll apologize right now for their loss. But we get to see those two teams, and then Montlake Terrace and Everett is the nightcap of that game. So get to see two games, four teams that I probably won't get to see again this season. So that's something that really excites me. A couple of players to look at from Everett. One is, of course, I can't remember the wide receiver's name, but the quarterback is Murdoch Rutledge, a player who is kind of under the radar. He's a good quarterback. He's got a nice arm. Be interested to see what he can do. Saturday, long road trip. It should be fun, though, down to Randall, Washington, where Morton White Pass is taking on Nia Bay. Now, Nia Bay is an 8-man football team, so they will actually be playing 11-man rules this week, which should be interesting to see how an 8-man team bounces out and plays 11-man. But Nia Bay has a player I really want to take a look at. His name is Cole Savek. He was a former state player of the year, so I want to get down there and see them. Morton White Pass, they've always got one or two guys that are worth really taking a look at. Saturday night, as soon as that game is over, make an hour and a half drive to Sunset Chevrolet Stadium in Sumner, where I get to see the Cascade Christian Cougars for the first time, and a couple of players that I really want to keep an eye on down there. Parker Johnson, their quarterback, he's a 2020. We saw him at the Northwest 9, just a tremendous athlete with good size, good arm. Tyquan Coleman and Madden Toback are a couple other guys I want to keep an eye on. Definitely some interesting matchups this week. around the state, but nothing too spectacular. So it should be a good week of football. Speaking of a good week of football, last week, those Huskies really put a whooping on the Stanford Cardinal. This week, Scott, what's it going to take to break this long losing streak?
Well, I really just think it's going to take some mental toughness on Washington's part, because on paper, Washington should walk away pretty easily in this game. Rumors are right now that Justin Herbert, a guy that we actually reported on several times,
yes,
on Northwest Elite Index, has been given the starting job. Mark Helfrich hasn't actually said that, but that's what reports are coming out. He's out of Sheldon High School. He's about 6'5", 225 pounds, and he's a true freshman. So Washington has arguably one of the top, well, the top defense in the Pac-12 and one of the top, I'd say, 5 to 10 defenses in the entire country.
Absolutely.
And that kid's going to have to start that game. And he's going to be shorthanded. He lost one of his top wide receivers last weekend when they got their butts kicked by Washington State. he's got four true or redshirt freshmen starting along the offensive line. His defense is going to give him no help because they can't stop anybody right now. It's like hot knife through butter. So as long as Washington – I apologize. Excuse me. I got a frog in my throat. As long as Washington does what they're supposed to do, they play assignment football on defense, they should win this game relatively easy by, 15 to 20 points. I think it's probably going to be a little tougher for them than that. I've got the game probably in the 35-26 range, somewhere like that, but 35-24, 35-21, something like that. But I don't think Washington's offense is going to be stopped very easily, and I think their defense will do enough to hold Oregon down, but I think it's going to be a pretty easy win, somewhere in the 10 to 15 point range.
I believe last year the Ducks put up 26 in a win up at Husky Stadium. I think if you were to give me the Ducks scoring 26 again this year, I think I would take it 10 out of 10 times. You know Oregon's going to put up some points. It's just a matter of, can you outscore them and can you get those stops when needed? And let's face it, this Husky defense, the way they're playing right now, I mean, it wouldn't be completely shocking if the Ducks only put up 14, but
yeah, they took out one of, they stopped basically only allowed 79 yards, 30 rushing and 49 or 30 receiving, 49 rushing to one of the top two or three players in the entire country in Christian McCaffrey. So, the running back up there at Oregon is very good, and he's tough to stop at 6 foot, 220 pounds. But I just see Washington being able to, as long as they have their gap integrity and they keep their assignments and what they're supposed to do, there's no reason to think that they shouldn't be able to keep these guys under 20 points, I think. If you can keep them under 20 points, it should be a very easy win, and you'll probably see backups in the second half.
One thing I want to mention, get over to dogman.com, dawgman.com. There was a post you put up the other day. It was the recruiting blog. I believe it was on Monday, and that is just some excellent stuff, talking about Foster Sorrell and Marlon Tuipulotu, Connor Weddington, Ariel Nata, so much insight, just top to bottom. If you're a Husky fan, I mean, really, if you're a high school football fan, that's a good spot to go. Get on there. I know you can get a free trial and you can get into the message boards. The message boards are just a lot of fun. There's a lot to talk. High school football talk. There's recruiting talk. There's questions. People just throw out random questions to you guys all the time, and you guys just sit there and answer them. Next, you know, it turns into a 50-comment thread, and it goes back and forth. And, lots of good stuff over there at dogman.com. Thanks again, Scott, for hanging out this week and talking for a little bit, and we will catch up with you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, that was Scott Eklund from dogman.com. I suggest if you like high school football, if you like football in general, you like the Huskies especially, get on over there, at least give them the free 7-day trial. Get the trial. If you don't like it, get rid of it. It's that simple. Trust me when I say this, you'll get on there. You'll absolutely love everything they got going on. But let's change topics here and get into some of the things that are going on right now up in the Cascade Conference with the Archbishop Murphy Wildcats. First off, one thing I want to get out there and make very clear, recruiting is not okay on any set of standards. So people that say it's okay for private schools to recruit, you're absolutely wrong. You are 100% wrong, and I'm sorry that I have to break the news to you, but nobody is allowed to recruit. If you think that high school coaches are actively out and about recruiting and going into homes like college coaches do, you're flat out wrong. So let's just stop talking about that and saying that they are recruiting. Can they offer tuition assistance based on various reasons? Yes, they can. And I don't know why there's a problem with that, because they are a private school for that reason. Now, does that make for an uneven playing, you know, ground? Maybe a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, if these athletes want to go play at a different school, they have the right. We live in a free country. You can move and go wherever you want. So I don't see the whole recruiting thing that everybody talks about. Was Bellevue recruiting? Maybe. They got in trouble. So, yeah, you know, you could say that they were. But to think that all of these private schools are out there just recruiting and going in, you know, finding kids and, hey, come play for us, that's ridiculous. So let's just stop that right now. It's unbelievable that people even continue to talk about it that way. But the ignorance in this situation has clearly shown through. Don't get me wrong. I think that a lot of people are right in a lot of differing opinions. One thing about player safety, it is what it is. The people are right. The player safety is definitely an issue, and I won't argue that. But the Cascade Conference had an opportunity to do something about this situation over the offseason. In January, they voted down alignment changes, and now these teams are forfeiting to Archbishop Murphy. The fact of the matter is, if they really wanted to, they could have found a way to make Archbishop Murphy a 2A independent, and they would have played teams along the same idea as Notre Dame. And when you think of Notre Dame at the college level, they play a full independent schedule. They play Navy, they play Michigan, they play Stanford, USC. They go around and they play anybody and everybody that they can find on a year-in, year-out basis. And at the end of the year, if they qualify, they go to a bowl game. So you could easily have made them a 2A independent and given them a berth from the Cascade Conference, and I don't know how people could really get upset about that. I don't blame the Wesco Conference for turning them down. It's one of those situations where I get it. You know, a lot of the coaches probably feel as though Archbishop is going to come in and take some players away from them. And you know what? It's going to happen. It happens with every private school. So there's things that are going on right now, things that are being said that just absolutely drive me crazy. And the fact of the matter is, everybody wants to talk about, oh, this person's a victim. Oh, these guys were the victim. Everybody wants to throw stuff out there. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to give solutions. The only solution I keep hearing is, oh, make the privates play each other. And that's just not, it's ridiculous. That is an absolutely ridiculous argument. You can't have a private school classification in this state when there's not enough schools. The Archbishop this year, yes, this year Archbishop could go compete with the Bellarmine Preps, the Eastside Catholics, the Gonzaga Preps. Sure, they could compete on that level. In the years past, Archbishop has not been able to compete on that level. And I'm sorry for people that don't understand this, but this is not something that just popped up out of nowhere. Many of these Archbishop players were on this team last year. As a matter of fact, from my look at it, there's really only one impact player that came in this season. And if you take him off the team, they're still the best team in the state regardless. They are absolutely the best team in the state regardless, even if you take that player off of this team. So everybody knew what was going to happen. They knew what was coming. And anybody that claims that they didn't, that's ridiculous. Because you played all of these same players last year. You played them, and it was okay then, but now all of a sudden, it's not okay. And that's absolutely ridiculous to me. And the fact that people even want to try to say that we could have a private school classification, some of the things I've been reading from people are just hysterical. Oh, put the private schools in there because they can recruit. And again, they can't. But they do have a different set of rules, and things need to change. They absolutely need to change. The 50-mile radius rule that I keep hearing about, it needs to change right now. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be changed as soon as possible. And the fact of the matter is, we need to put rules in place, and we actually need to enforce these rules by getting addresses and confirming addresses. If that means whoever the legal guardian is that enrolls that athlete in the school shows proof of address by bringing in a phone bill, a water bill, whatever, that's fine. Let's do it. If those are the steps that need to be taken, let's do it. The 50-mile radius rule, if you think about how far away 50 miles is from Eastside Catholic High School, you're going to go past the Tacoma Dome. You're going to go past the Tacoma Dome. I mean, come on. Let's get real here. It's just simply not needed. They need to not only enforce rules, but with these rules in place, it needs to be things like residency. Where do they live? Let's enforce them. Let's have quote-unquote compliance directors at these private schools, or people that can verify these addresses. Because one of the things that popped up with the Bellevue is some people said, oh, well, you can't expect a coach to know where every single kid lives. Why not? Why can't we expect that? You know what? Let's put in rules, and let's not expect it. Let's require it. Make these people have to show where they live, or else they're not playing. It's that simple. My personal opinion is the distance needs to be changed to something more along the lines of 15, maybe 20 miles. I think that even 20 miles is a little bit of a stretch. And when we put these rules in place and we enforce these rules, if you do not comply with it, now we have something that we can go after you for. And you can put sanctions on schools. And if people are breaking the rules, you can get rid of these people. It's that simple. But for everybody out there that just thinks that safety is the number one issue, I direct you to the King 5 last night, where the Granite Falls coach mentions that the number one issue is recruiting. Now, granted, he may have been saying that in the light that these guys are able to recruit bigger linemen, and so it becomes a safety concern. But he specifically said the number one concern is recruiting. And it's absolutely ridiculous to me. It's ridiculous to me to think that Jerry Jensen at Archbishop Murphy is out there walking around trying to find people, going to middle school, going to other high schools and walking on campus and finding kids and going, hey, buddy, why don't you come play for us? That's not happening. Kids want to go to Archbishop Murphy because, one, it's good academics. Two, it's good athletics. It's very good athletics. We know what Archbishop Murphy is. At Eastside Catholic, we know what Eastside Catholic is. Do I think that the private schools are innocent in all of this? Absolutely not. 100%, they are not innocent in all of this. And I am not defending private schools. What I'm defending is it's more of attacking the people that just throw these generalizations out there and throw these things out there that, oh, we need to stop this. We need to do this. Okay, what is your plan? What do you want to do about it? Well, I don't know what to do about it. No, you cannot do, we can't just continue to bash people and do this without setting a plan in place. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of people go after the WIAA. And over the years, you guys that know me know that I've been very critical of the WIAA. And honestly, I think it's rightfully so. But in this case, I don't really go after the WIAA. I think the districts are the ones that need to be held accountable. And the fact of the matter is, at the top of the chain is Mike Colbrese, the executive director of the WIAA. But the people that really make the decisions are the districts. If the districts don't ask for something, the WIAA doesn't really go about changing anything. And the fact of the matter is, if the districts aren't going to do something about it, then nothing's ever going to change in this state. And we're going to go about the same issues and have the same problems, and everybody's just going to piss and moan about it and not come up with a solution. And frankly, it's just, it's tiresome at this point. And I'm looking at an Archbishop Murphy football team that worked their butts off over the offseason. Every single one of those kids worked their butts off. And the parents, the decision makers, the quote-unquote communities, they're ruining it for these kids. But I hate to throw his name into this, but quarterback Connor Johnson is an athlete who needs film for college. That he absolutely needs film for college. Last year, he didn't get to throw the ball a ton. And this year, in the even though they've played three games, it was really a half in each one. So he's got a game and a half worth of film, and they haven't thrown the ball very much. So for a guy like him, he needs all the help he can get. When you look at other guys on that team, Anthony Gurley, Abe Lucas at left tackle, Kyler Gordon, they have their Division I offers. And they have school paid for. But there's a lot of kids on that team that still need a lot of help. And they absolutely 100% need to be playing these games so that they can better their future. And I get it. I get it. It is a safety concern on the other side. South Whidbey, if there's anybody listening, I'm not talking about you at all. South Whidbey, you guys were 100% in the right. And I'm not coming after Sultan, and I'm not coming after Granite Falls. What I am coming after are the people that had a chance to do something about this over the offseason and did nothing about it. And the fact of the matter is, everybody involved in this situation should be completely ashamed of themselves. Completely ashamed of themselves. That's just my personal opinion. Whether you agree with me or not, that's up to you. But fact of the matter is we need change in this state. And I'm sick and tired of sitting around and watching nobody do anything about it other than piss and moan. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. If you would like to, send me an email. It's ringerland@gmail.com, ringerland@gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you, honestly. I want to hear whether you agree, disagree, whichever, but I don't want to hear from you if you don't have a solution. If you don't have a solution, don't waste my time, because at this point, I'm just tired of it. So thank you to Caden Jenks and Scott Eklund from Dogman.com. I'll be out Thursday night at Popkini, Skyline of Bothell, Friday night up at Edmonds Stadium, doubleheader up there, and then Saturday down in Randall for Morton White Pass versus Nia Bay, and then Saturday night down at Cascade Christian versus Vashon Island at Sunset Chevrolet Stadium in Guelph. Sumner. So if you're at any games, shoot me something. Let me know. Let me know some scores. I'm always interested. Always looking to hear from the listeners. So, until next week, thank you for listening.